Back in the booth, back on the airwaves, coming at you live from the Fan Run Studios. John Reed, Cam Black, the Iron Man, Charlie Collier, as we get set to get you through your lunch break on this Tuesday, May 17th. Kind of sad, no Hayden. I was thinking about how I miss him.
I was really thinking about that, too.
Yeah. Hope he's doing well with his tests. Either way.
When you said you can start it now, uh-huh. To Cam just a minute ago, I thought you said, I could have sworn I heard someone say Hayden.
Oh.
And part of me lit up a little bit thinking like, wait, did his exam, like, was it at a different time after all? Is he going to be here today?
No. Thursday and Friday are his last 2 days, but we'll get to see him two more days. Cam, how are you today?
Doing good. Had a nice day off yesterday, so enjoyed the weather. Went out and...
Yeah, I saw on your Instagram you're out there paddleboarding around doing stuff.
Yeah, I was just longboarding.
I tried to wave at you.
Did you really?
Yeah.
You passed me?
Yeah. You were looking... You were going down Neyland Drive. You had already passed Thompson Bowling and like,
okay.
You were pretty much at Neyland itself.
Yeah.
And you were just kind of like looking straight up in the sky.
Just cruising, dude.
For like a couple minutes as I kept trying to wave at you. From when I saw you coming and all the way to you going, I don't think you broke looking up at the sky. So I don't know.
It was in my zone, dude.
Felt like you. Like, I don't know how you knew where you were going.
I went all the way to I-Jams. Is that how you say it? I don't know.
I-Jams?
I-Jams? I always used to say I-Jams, but I thought I was saying it wrong because there's a J in there.
I always called it L-Jams is what I always called it.
Yeah,
but
it's I-Jams.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
Okay, I used to say I-Jams. So I was like, there's a J. That can't be right.
I prefer I-Jams.
Yeah, went all the way over there.
Did you figure anything out about life?
A little bit.
Okay.
A little bit. It did help me just reminisce on everything, and it's nice to go wander through nature, too, once I got over to that place.
Find any animals?
Yeah, there's lots of turtles. Saw a couple snakes. Was hoping to see some otters, but I knew that was a long shot. But I went and waited till dusk just in case, and no luck. Then I went and got some food and played trivia by myself. So,
how'd you do?
I got fourth, which wasn't great, but I had a good first half, but I collapsed in the second half, and I'm useless at music bonuses, so that put me behind the eight ball, too. So
that's tough.
Yeah. Got a baseball question right, though. I was proud of myself.
What was the baseball question?
It was name one of the two most recent expansion teams.
Okay.
I was proud of myself for somehow getting that. I don't know how I knew that, but I knew it somehow.
Good job.
Which one did you guess?
Tampa Bay.
Good job. Did you have to put Devil Rays, or could you just put Rays?
I just put Tampa Bay. So
even
I'm
easier.
Not, yeah. Not make the guy think too much about it. So.
Proud of you.
Did call him out on his animal question, too, because it was a...
Oh, God.
The wording was a little weird.
Here goes Cam.
Oh, I still got it right.
Fight trivia guy.
I was just
again.
Letting him know. I was just informing him in case somebody came up and turned in a different answer than what he was looking for.
What was the question?
You're going to get blacklisted from all of the trivia places around here.
Well, it was like, this is
you
the
tried
second...
tried to fight the Marvel guy.
Yeah.
God knows you tried to fight the guy where we used to go. So, I mean, they're just going to be like, you know what? You just can't come anymore. How about that?
Well, the question was, this... second largest bird in the world was so prevalent that Australia had a war against them in whatever year.
The emus.
Yeah, but technically the emu's not, it's the second tallest bird, but it's not the second biggest bird. The second biggest is the cassowary.
I thought the cassowary is the biggest.
No, that's the ostrich.
I'm pretty sure cassowaries are bigger than ostriches.
Hey, you're not. Ostriches got them both beat pretty handily.
Really?
Yeah.
But cassowaries, like, kill people.
Yeah. That's just because they're aggressive and
dangerous.
I mean,
they'll run
and they
over.
Have that claw on their foot that they can kick you with. But I was just like, hey, man, just, like, I'm not questioning the question. I was just like, just to let you know, I'm pretty sure cassowary is the second largest bird. So if it confuses some people, that may be the issue. If you get some complaints later. And he's like, huh, okay.
So you were worried that there are people out there that are thinking, man, well, I knew that they went to war over emus, but I'm just...
Well, that's where my brain
is a little bit taller.
Well, that's where my brain went.
Right,
I, like, when he said second largest bird, I already started writing cassowary, and when he finished out the sentence, and I was like, oh, it's going to be the emu. But I was like, because I know about the war, but...
Tell me more about this war. They did what?
Basically, there were so many emus in Australia, and they were, like, destroying, like, crops and
so
farms and everything.
Gunned them all down?
They basically went to, like, military action.
Yeah,
to,
the
like,
emu war.
Gunned them all down?
Yeah, they get cut down the numbers. So,
when was that?
I want to say, I can't remember what year he said. I want to say it was in the 1800, like
1932.
Okay, I was going to say late 1800.
The Great Emu War. It lasted over a month.
They fought back.
Okay.
Did they fight back?
I don't know.
It's a good way.
Oh, my God.
It's a good way just to say, you know.
The first picture that comes
emu
up.
Emu genocide is yeah. what it seems like.
Yeah. The first picture that comes up is just an angry-looking Australian man in a hat. Choking an emu.
Okay. They have beef.
Yeah. Could you imagine choking a bird that size?
No. That would terrify me.
Ugh. Oh, there were a lot of emus.
Oh yeah. They were everywhere, man.
I mean, in this picture, there are more emus on this one little stretch of road than there are people in Neyland Stadium for a night game.
Charlie, how are you?
I'm good. I'm pumped up.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What are you pumped up about? Game one tonight?
Game one and Tennessee Belmont.
Okay. You going to the game? Do you find tickets?
I've not found a ticket yet, but I'm gonna find one.
Really bad. I'm sure you can find some online.
So there's always scalpers out there too if you want to just deal
I'll
with that.
One, but
I'm sure you can get one for like $10.
Yeah, I was looking at like Vivid Seats, they're like $50.
But don't do that.
Yeah, people are jacking
them
up.
Don't do that.
I want to try to. How close to the bullpen do you think I can get?
How close to the bullpen?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just out there like in those outside, like the bleachers on the bleacher side, right? Isn't that just like general admission?
Right? Like, how can I get those tickets? I want to sit in those bleachers.
I think you just have to get general admission, but I don't know. I would think that you could get in there really with any tickets because, I mean, I'd be like, hey, you could trade with somebody there and be like, hey, I got tickets over there.
Because I want to be by the bullpen. I like to.
You want to heckle your friends?
No, I mean, I usually, like when I go to Belmont games, they go to the bullpen about the fourth inning.
Mm-hmm.
And then I stand there and we just talk the entire game.
Oh, distracting them.
No, I mean, yes.
I don't know if you can stand. Can you stand next to Tennessee's bullpen like that? Or not? I mean, I know not Tennessee's bullpen, but I mean like the opposing.
I mean, I probably.
Team's
I don't
bullpen.
Think they'd let me. But then I feel like if the Belmont like their bullpen was just like, nah, he's cool. Maybe they'd let me.
I don't know.
It's very fun. I mean, sometimes I'll just like throw football with them while they're in the bullpen.
Well,
just hang out.
Well, you're wearing a Belmont jersey. A little.
Yeah,
little
we do know where
it's
your
game day.
Allegiance is lotted.
I have a Tennessee hat on.
It's turned backwards,
turned backwards
so we can't see it.
I didn't realize it was turned backwards, to be honest, until I said that. I have a Tennessee hat on.
But a Belmont jersey on.
And a Heat shirt. I'm just touching all my bases.
Only three bases. You didn't make it home. Sad.
You don't know what underwear I got on.
Show me.
I'm not wearing any. That's why they like me so much.
Anyway.
No, but, you know, my allegiance is everywhere right now. My brain is spinning.
Okay.
I don't know what to do.
Credit to Tennessee and Belmont for playing this game. A lot of college baseball programs decided they didn't really need to play this.
It's actually like really important for Belmont.
So how does the tournament work for the other conferences? Is it like college basketball where if you win your conference you get to go to a regional?
Yeah, so you have to win your conference tournament.
Okay.
So, like, Belmont right now is...
So, why is this game important to Belmont? Just, to tune up, or...?
Because some of them think they can get an at-large.
Oh, okay.
Which, I don't know if they can, but they kind of think they can. It's hard to keep a 40-win team out, and if they were to beat...
Well, yeah, if you beat Tennessee, that's a big feather in your cap, you know, obviously. So. I didn't realize that they were also in the mix for an at-large bid, so that makes sense, of course.
I mean, again, it's, like, tough for them to get in that large, but right now
I guess it makes sense for why you're rooting for Belmont tonight for your friends to get in that large bid.
Exactly. If they have 35
wins.
You
hear that, Cam? He's rooting for Belmont tonight.
He admitted it. Got the audio.
They win four more, they'll get to 39 games. They win one tournament game, they'll get to 40, and their RPI would get up to like top 35 if they win this game tonight potentially. So they would have at least an argument. If you're a 40-win team with a top 35 RPI with a sweep over like Purdue and some other nice teams.
Okay.
But a lot of these teams that have been canceling midweek games like don't want their RPI to take a hit.
Yeah,
which for Tennessee, when you're playing a team that actually has like a pretty solid RPI, there's not a reason to cancel.
And I would imagine Tennessee's in a comfortable enough position where they don't really care. Like there's a difference between trying to be on the cutoff of like you know, anywhere from the 8 to 10 range versus number 1. You could play whoever you want. I imagine Tennessee could lose this game and not really be that affected by it, assuming they don't get, like, swept this weekend. So
I think it, I mean, it's senior night, too, so.
No, yeah, I mean.
Want to cancel senior night.
Yeah, I didn't think about that from maybe, I don't know, is Texas A&M having, like, are they at home this weekend? Because they're not the only school that's canceled these games, right? But they're the ones that kind of got the ball rolling, I believe.
Right. Mm-hmm. Ole Miss canceled, too.
Which Ole Miss is desperate.
They're home this weekend against A&M.
So they get so they get at least to have a senior day festivities, I guess.
Yeah. Which Ole Miss back on the tournament bubble.
I was going to say I thought that was the case. So they're firmly in the SEC tournament
It's
and
pretty,
on the bubble to get in the actual big dance.
Pretty much going to be Missouri and Mississippi State that don't make the SEC tournament unless there are some upsets this weekend.
It's kind of wild for Mississippi State. I mean, I guess. As a fan, you can't even be that upset about it because you just won a national title.
And everyone got hurt. Like, that's the also this year. I mean, that makes it even easier to swallow.
Right. Yeah, I'd forgotten, you know, you'd pointed out how hurt they got basically right at the beginning of the year, and they just, I guess, never recovered.
But,
okay.
Latest projections have A&M as at 9.
So
they are, I mean,
yeah,
right there trying to get in that top 8.
Say, okay, it's, I guess, bear with me as a baseball fan that's kind of getting back in the swing of things from when he was 11 and Tennessee was good in 2001. But, like, say, all right, so the top 8 teams I know host Super Regional.
Right.
So if one of the top 8 teams loses, does it just go to number 9 or does it go to the team that actually beat number the higher ranked team that would won that regional
the winner,
or does it just go because last year didn't it just go like to the home team like if you upset the home team didn't like they just go ahead and host super regionals too or no
so the one seeds region gets maxed up with the 16s
yeah I got that
and all that
yeah
and then just the highest ranked
but team. If 16 beats 1 they don't get to host super regional right it goes to the next highest is that how that works
no I'm saying like there are 16 national seeds
well I know but the top 8 host the super regionals
right.
Right. So I'm saying, say number 3 loses, do you just go from, you know, say number 3 loses
it'd
and the other
7.
It's the
highest remaining team.
Right, so number 9, essentially.
No.
I mean, if number 9 advances.
Because you're playing in the Supers against, I guess, what, the 3 would be 14? So
yeah.
It'd just be like the 14 seed would host that Super.
Okay, so the 14 would get it. Okay, that makes sense.
Like, no matter what.
What? Okay.
Like Tennessee, like again. So like right
now,
Tennessee's latest
now.
Projection
no,
would be Tennessee, Delaware State, like Texas Tech, and it was someone else. And if they win that Super, they would match up with the winner of the Super from Gonzaga. So even if Delaware State and like North Dakota State won their regionals, one of those two teams would host a Super against each other.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Because it's just
Because you're knocking out the other teams. I get that now. That makes sense.
So I mean, yeah, you could have a 4 seed host a or a 3 seed host a Super, but then the 9 seed, but the 9 seed could go on the road for a Super.
Okay, yeah, that's what I was asking. Okay, so I did just get confused, but you can be 9-16 in advance out of your Super out of your regional, and get jumped in line by the like say a 14 team.
Well,
you're the 10 seed.
It's predetermined
right.
Who you're going to play in the Super Regional.
Okay. Oh, okay. Okay.
It's like a bracket.
Yeah.
Like if a 16 seed upset a 1.
Right, so they don't reseed.
They wouldn't just reset
they don't
it and make you go place.
Okay.
Yeah,
got
they don't
it.
Reseed.
That's what I'm saying. Okay, so the 16. Okay. So say a 16 seed beats Tennessee in the regional, they would then just host the 9 seed, essentially, whoever wins that one. No. Or the 16. The 16 would be beating you. Okay, so I guess the 64. So the 64.
It's 64 teams.
Yeah. So I got that. I understand. That was really confusing, and I'm probably just confused the whole audience, but I kind of understand what we're saying now. Let's just go to break and let's pretend like that didn't happen.
Confuse people right now.
Well, I wasn't one of them, then I became one of them, and then I wasn't again, but it's fine.
Just imagine each
– They don't reseed.
Imagine each regional as just a team.
Essentially, they just don't reseed. They don't reseed.
Yes.
That's all – that's the simplest way to put it is that there's no reseed.
So just imagine a 6-team team bracket, but each team is just actually a regional.
Right. Yeah. And they don't reseed. That's
right.
Was essentially my question. Yes. And just confused everybody, and hopefully they didn't turn the channel. But Cam sent us to break. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.
He hates me deep.
The sports story of the day Is it MLS soccer?
Gotta be.
I don't know.
That is actually a pretty big story, I guess.
It's been a pretty...
Is something happening in the MLS?
Oh, yeah. Something actually pretty big, I mean, I guess...
It had been a rumor for a while, but...
Yeah, it had been a pretty well-known rumor that it was the plan and, you know, it was going to happen. But in 2023, so next summer, mm-hmm. essentially, Lionel Messi will acquire 35% of Inter Miami and join the team and play here in America.
What?
Yeah. Lionel Messi.
How have I missed that, but then also not even heard any of these rumors?
Well, how you missed it, I don't know. Maybe you just don't. I mean, 10 a.m. this morning?
10 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I mean, I don't know. But it's been rumored for the last at least couple of years. Once he was basically on the move, right? I mean, yeah, once he went to
teams.
Yeah.
The PSG.
Yeah, once he got to PSG, it was pretty much because I mean, doesn't the PSG owner like also like own a part of Inter Miami or something of that sort? Like it's been rumored for a while, and it's now I guess official. So he's gonna get 35% of the franchise. Which how much do like?
They said that's estimated to be worth $200 million.
35% of it is.
Mm-hmm.
How much is the damn Inter Miami worth?
Let me see if I can track it down.
So, I mean, 35% of $200 million.
The report I saw said, yeah, it would be. It's the stake is valued at over $200 million.
So, like the 35% is $200 million.
Yeah, so we'd go like $9 million to start. Let's just try that.
No. So the 35% is $200 million. Like that's what he's getting.
We got that.
Okay.
What are you trying to figure out then?
Then how much like the actual franchises are valued for. I mean, it'd be close
600
like
600 to 650 million, according to something from last year.
Oh, okay. You're about to say? Go ahead. What are you about to
say? Actually, I did the math.
Yeah. What are you about to say?
Well, if 1/35 is 200 million, then.
Go ahead. Keep going.
Or if 35% is 200 million, then 100% is like 638 million.
Okay.
Yeah. But I'd imagine that value increases with Messi playing on the team, so I wonder how that's taken into the equation as well. That's factored in.
You said it's how much Cam is worth. You said
it's between 600 and 650 million.
No, I'm saying you're saying he's getting right. 200 million of it?
Mm-hmm. That's insane. David Beckham apparently has part of this.
Well, David Beckham's been there for a while.
I forgot he was there.
David Beckham's been there for a while.
Can we get him to play in like one game just so we can see Messi and Beckham together?
Mm-hmm. Probably not. That is absurd to me, that MLS team. So, like, how much is Nashville SC worth?
Let's see if they have an
MLS franchise evaluations. Like, that's what I want to see because, you know, again, this is one of the things I talk about a lot is, you know, how scarce the ability to own teams are. I would have never thought, like, Los Angeles FC is apparently worth $860 million. What? Atlanta United, $845 million.
Yeah, the Sounders. Mm-hmm.
Who owns Atlanta United? Is that Arthur Blank?
Mm-hmm.
What?
I don't see Nashville numbers. Maybe because they're so new.
So these are worth more than, like, NBA teams?
People like soccer.
Oh, no.
But people don't like MLS.
I was trying to figure out how much Nashville SC is worth, and then there's just an article from February 21st, 2020 that says, will Nashville SC join the ranks of the few teams that turn a profit?
So these teams aren't turning profits, which, I mean...
I can see that. You got to...
I know, like, Reese Witherspoon and, like, Derrick Henry, you know, bought a part of Nashville SC. I don't know how much. Like, I mean, I guess it's probably very, very, very small.
Yeah. The Sounders valued at like $750 million.
Which I guess, never mind about what I said about it being worth more than NBA teams, I didn't fully realize that every NBA team's valuation had ballooned over $1.5 billion.
Oh.
What the hell is happening? Michael Jordan bought the Hornets for like $200 million, like
I do remember
15 years ago. We should have gotten in on it. It is true. If you're telling me that the New Orleans Pelicans are worth $1.51 billion, what?
That's
Which, again, it's something that we've talked about. We know it's the ultimate rich guy thing. It's the ultimate toy to be able to have as a professional sports team.
Yep.
I didn't realize it had gotten so crazy, though, where, again.
Yeah, the average NFL team's 3.1.
Well, that doesn't surprise me as much.
Baseball, 2.2. The average MLS franchise is $550 million.
Well, that makes I feel like that. When's that article from that says the average MLS one? Because
this is from 2021.
Okay. Because, I mean, I would be surprised if the average was down that low whenever so I'm seeing.
The lowest one was the Rapids at $370 million.
Right. But, like, okay, when you're telling me that the lowest is 370 and that, you know, there's a handful of teams in the 800,000s, right?
Nashville,
800
millions. Nashville's 460 million as of this article.
I have a hard time thinking that would be the average, but
yeah.
Either way. Okay.
I mean, yeah, they got the top three teams all make over or all worth over 830 million.
Because when I saw 35% equity for ownership for Messi, you know, I thought it was a big deal, obviously, but I didn't realize it was 200 million.
Yeah.
Oof. And like Charlie said, just having Messi play for the team, like he is going to be raising his own worth just by going and selling jerseys and like getting them on TV and making them become more valuable.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, people are going to pack that stadium out.
The MLS, I mean, really is in a good spot right now.
It is. It's growing.
I guess so. It's growing. I mean, they're still bringing in new teams. I don't know how the TV numbers do. I mean, I guess good for...
Good. I think they do pretty solid. I think that attendance is good all across the MLS.
Yeah, attendance is really well. And they got to have really some like sort soccer. Of decent TV deal because, you know, they'll be on ESPN and stuff pretty frequently. Yeah. So.
But, I mean, being on there doesn't necessarily mean it's doing well.
Yeah, but, you know, that contract probably got them pretty penny for their evaluations, you know.
Like, they're still losing to the Premier League, though.
Yeah, absolutely.
In terms of viewership. But, I mean, like Premier League, that's like, they lost Sunday 9 a.m. I guess Man City's big, okay. But they also lost to, like, Brentford at Everton. And, like, I don't think of Brentford or Everton as a...
Everton has a decent little...
Right, I mean, decent little following. I mean, like, they're not
also,
a top...
That was a big game for relegation.
Relegation, purposes. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, we're trying to avoid getting relegated.
Right.
Us Evertonians.
I guess the Atlanta-New England MLS game...
I was watching
beats,
that.
Barely beats Champions League game between Liverpool and Aston Villa, I guess. Or that's Premier League, sorry.
So that's pretty impressive.
Tuesday at 3 o'clock versus Sunday at 1:30. So, I mean, barely beat it with a really good time slot, but okay. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I wouldn't have think that there would be any game that beats that, though.
Yeah. So 382,000, the biggest number for MLS.
And they're probably like
this
the
last TV ratings.
Sixth or seventh best league in the world. What
the hell are these USFL teams worth?
Good question.
Because, I mean, like, you know, on NBC on Sunday, like, Birmingham at Philadelphia brought in 905,000 viewers, which is, you know, over double what we just said the MLS is bringing in.
People have been watching it pretty decently.
724,000 for New Orleans at New Jersey, 692,000 for Pittsburgh at Houston. So, like, it's doing pretty solid numbers, again, compared to soccer, which... It's kind of sick when you're thinking that, like, the USFL is outdrawing, like, the Premier League, but.
That's absurd.
It does seem absurd. But then again, also, maybe, I don't know if this seems as absurd or not, but it's always funny to see them compare. But, like, the highest rated baseball game of last week was 961,000, which was 961,000 viewers, which had, you know, the Giants and Cardinals on Sunday Night Baseball. That only beat the USFL by 50,000 people. Jeez. And, like, the next – like, I told you 961,000 with Sunday Night Baseball was the highest. The next highest was, like, the Saturday afternoon game on FS1 that did 381,000. So the USFL beat all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And then it seems absurd to me. I mean, I guess –
So it's tricky to figure out the value of these USFL teams because they don't have individual owners.
Wait, they don't?
It says each team does not have individual
owners. Is it just
owned
by the league?
It's instead, Fox Sports owns each team under a subsidiary known as the National Spring Football League Enterprises.
Yeah.
They've committed $150 million over a period of 3 years to operate the league. Outside funding is also being sought.
Then I see Friday Night SmackDown did $1.9 million and is bigger than all these. That NASCAR did $2.3. I mean, okay. Just how much, like, are NASCAR teams, how much do NASCAR teams bring? How much are they evaluated at?
I don't know.
It's, I mean, we know that live sports are what carries it, and we know that the rich people, they want to be a part of that. I guess all the sports are kind of still thriving right now during live TV. I did just see that ABC's Celtics-Bucks Game 7 was the most watched Eastern Conference semifinal game since 2012, brought in 9.6 million viewers at its peak, 7.4 on average, so pretty good week for the NBA when it comes to their playoff viewing as well.
This is from 2019, but Hendrix Motorsports was worth $315 million. The one was Richard Petty, and they were worth $28
million. But, like, you know, with each of those, you have, like, some, like, multiple cars, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Be nice to be rich. Right. Be nice to own these sports teams. Let's go to break. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.
Does your business?
So far we got Belmont baseball and MLS soccer.
The MLS, man, they just need to get rid of the salary cap. Once they do that, they can be a real league.
Many soccer fans want just to follow the European model of, like, relegation and promotion.
I also would love that.
But when I tell you, which, I mean, I know that, like, they do it across the pond in places that make it work, but, like, I just feel like in America we have too much greed to necessarily be signing up to have your franchise, your asset tank in value so much, you know, from a loss. Like, yeah. I would imagine that, you know, going down and getting relegated would, like, absolutely, like, gut your team and, like, the money you're bringing in and access to TV deals and everything. So I don't think that's probably ever going to come to American sports. But let's keep it going. Up next, how about this? Golf!
Now I'm
all
really
the heavy
excited
hitters today.
The PGA Championship is close. Tee time's coming out. And some of the groups I've seen leak so far, pretty damn stout. You said you got Tiger's group?
Yeah, so the Tiger Woods Legion Twitter account, which is always pretty accurate, said that his pairing will be Tiger, Spieth, and Rory. So Jordan Spieth, Rory McIlroy, and Tiger Woods together on Thursday.
So three guys that are all pretty much over the hill?
9:11 a.m. Thursday, 2:30 Friday is what they're saying the tee times will be.
Nice.
You said two out of three guys are over the hill?
Oh, no, I said all three guys are over the hill.
Oh, John.
Well, spot the lot.
Spieth is not over the hill.
What do you mean? Spieth definitely has been on the decline. He was on top of the world, what, 4 years ago?
Yeah, I mean, he fell off. And now
he
he's climbing back.
He's still over the hill. He might not.
He's not over the hill, though. Like, he's young.
On his career bell curve, is he on the upswing from, like, where he's ever been?
His career isn't a bell curve.
Go ahead. Clear your throat. Take your time. I'm interested to see how you're going to try to spin me on the fact that Spieth, his career isn't worse than it's been in the past.
Well,
is he better now than he was maybe 2 years ago? Sure. Is he much worse now than he was 4 years ago? Yes.
I wouldn't say much worse.
Oh, okay. Well, tell me, like, didn't Spieth win what? I mean, majors did he win a couple years ago? Like 4 years ago?
He can get the career Grand Slam.
So he's got three majors already?
Yeah.
And he hasn't won a major in how long?
A while.
And you're going to tell me he's not much worse? Like, he was the best golfer in the world for a while. now he's, I mean, where's he at in the world rankings? I mean, again, I know it's better than where it was. I mean, I feel like he was like at like 45th not too long ago and like was barely doing anything. So like,
he's had three top tens this year in 12 events.
That's completely fine. Where's he at world rankings? So with all that, he is at
ninth in purse,
which is
pretty solid.
A pretty big fall off from number, pretty big fall off from number one, I would say. But either way,
he's won an event this year.
Yeah, he did win an event. I mean, not like a big event that like there's a lot of competition in, but he won an event.
He's actually finished 1-2 the last 2 weeks. He's hot right now. What you're saying is golfer that is.
So he didn't close last week, is what I'm hearing.
No.
Okay.
But maybe he's over the hill, but he's climbing up the mountain.
Three washed golfers playing together.
I don't think Rory's washed either.
What? Rory's more washed than Spieth is.
I agree that he's more washed than Spieth is, but I don't think he's washed.
He's over the hill.
And then Tiger.
Well, go ahead. Go ahead. Let's hear it.
I'm not a Tiger guy, but.
Let's hear it. Please tell me that Tiger's not over the hill. Please tell me Tiger's not washed. Go ahead. Let's hear it.
There's this, at least intrigue still.
Oh, yeah, there's definitely intrigue. Like, there's intrigue with all three of these guys because you're just going to be sitting there watching, hoping that they can recapture some of the greatness they once had. That they
apparently,
no longer have.
Tiger's been playing some really good golf lately.
I hope he does.
I hope he doesn't. But
so you're rooting for Tiger to not you? You don't want to see Tiger play good?
I'm not a Tiger guy.
I mean, I understand not being a Tiger guy, but I mean, like,
actually, no, I do want to see him play.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like everyone has to want to see him play well at this point of his life and career. I mean, just because it's more fun. But again, we'll see.
One of the best groups that's ever been put together.
It's the second best group in this tournament this weekend.
Ooh.
The top three players in the world are all playing together. What are you talking about? Thursday, 2:36. Scottie Scheffler, Jon Rahm, and Colin Morikawa. Like, that's a much better group.
Yeah, but I'm just talking in terms of like storylines, intrigue.
In terms of them being over the hill and like, yeah, again, like you want to see if any of the old guys or the washed-up guys can get back into contention in a major. Yeah, I hear you. I understand. But again, the top three players in the world are all playing together. That's the number one. That's the number one group. That's a superstar group.
That's also a really good group.
It's a better group. Go ahead and say it. Say it. I want to hear you say it. Go ahead. I'm waiting.
Say what?
That it's a better group. Go ahead.
What depends on what you're looking for?
I'm looking for golfers.
Well, then, yeah, it's a better group.
Okay, that's all I wanted to hear. Thank you. Allergies kicking your ass today?
I don't know.
Voices giving out from all the radio you've had to do?
Maybe. It was a late night working, too. A job that I didn't want to work, and I was there until like midnight.
How'd it go?
Made some good money.
That's all that matters.
Yeah.
Mental health okay?
Sure.
You fatigued? You need to talk about anything?
Do I need to talk about
anything? Yeah, anything you need to get off your chest from work or just anything in your life?
No, not really.
Okay, good.
I was looking for a wife.
Looking for a wife?
Yeah.
How's that going?
Not great.
When you say you're looking for a wife, where are you looking for said wife at? Just everywhere?
Everywhere. No, I haven't really like honed in on one specific area.
Yeah. So like you are hoping like, hey, maybe I just meet her out and about.
Every time I meet a woman, I'm just like, yeah, I hope this one's the wife.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I feel that. I mean, I don't agree. I'm not on that. I'm not at that stage.
You're
but,
looking for a wife. I've been looking for a wife for a couple years.
I've given up on that.
Oh, that's sad. That's really sad.
Yeah, I've given up on that.
Don't give up.
You're still young. You got it, buddy. You still got it.
That makes me sad now.
Don't be sad. That's fine. No reason to be sad.
You don't have to get married, Charlie.
Yeah,
I want to be right now.
John, maybe John has different goals.
No, I've just given up.
Yeah. John has told me a couple times that...
I've told you what?
A couple times that, like, there are things about me that just remind me of, like, you when you were that age.
Yeah.
The fact
When I was your age, I was not looking for a wife.
Okay, well, that's better.
Yeah. I haven't been, like, questing for a wife
for, you to be
for
like,
these 10 years,
for
no.
You to be like, oh, I've given up now, that's not a good sign.
Yeah, no. Yeah, no. That's... You do remind me a lot, but not that part so much.
Yeah, no, I mean, I like women, don't get me wrong, but...
We got that in common,
I'd rather just find one and marry her, you know?
Okay. Well, if I can help you, please let me know. Don't you need to come be like a wingman for you at at work, like come sit there and just like order a bunch of stuff from you, or
hey, bud, thanks for lending me the Lamborghini last weekend.
Yeah, like what do you need me to do?
I don't know.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, you asked me what's going on in my life.
Yeah, that's what I've fair. Been,
I don't really know what else is going on.
I just didn't know if there was
anywhere. You decide your life quest was to find a wife.
It's not the main life quest. Okay. It's one of the sounded big like three.
Sound like
it's
the top,
a big thing.
Sound like that's the top priority.
Career right and now. Wife. Those are the big two.
Okay.
Well, ladies, if you're listening, Charlie Collier is here.
Do you have like dating apps and you set your like preference to like marriage?
No, I don't let anyone know. I don't let anyone know what
you
my
can't, you can't scare them off at the beginning.
It always blows my mind when I used to see girls who just say marriage on there. I'm like, well, that's a lot of pressure.
Well, I mean,
you can't then say that they didn't tell you what they were looking for.
I don't want girls to know that I am looking for a wife, though, necessarily.
Uh-huh. You want to try to trap them?
Well, not that, you know. Just because maybe a girl doesn't want a wife, right?
Sure.
Or want to be a wife.
Right.
Maybe she's looking for something casual.
Yeah. You're hoping you can.
I don't want to. Well, no, I just don't want to miss out on those relationships.
Oh, that seems like you're not that settled on a wife, then. You're just looking for a woman. That's what it sounds like.
No, a wife, but.
Well, then if you're wasting your time with people who don't want to be wives, then does that not, by definition, mean that you're wasting time?
No, because.
Because what?
You can still have some fun along the way as you're trying to find the wife.
Do you think you having fun along the way is helping you in your quest to find a wife?
I don't think it's hurting.
You don't?
Also, there's, maybe women don't think that they want that until they meet me. And
there it
like,
is.
Never mind. I do want to be a wife.
There
now.
It is. You're trying to trick them. You're making the common mistake that people make in dating. No. You think you can change them.
I have that kind of effect on people.
Yeah. Clearly. As you have convinced so many people to be your wife, you clearly have that effect on people. Well, this just got depressing. Let's go to break. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.
Your pet is an important part of your family, and when he or she is ill, you want the best medical care available. The vets and staff at Admiral Vet are ready to provide your pet with cutting-edge veterinary medical care. From wellness exams and vaccines to advanced diagnostics and complex surgical procedures, your dog, cat, or ferret will receive high-quality care at Admiral Vet. Located at 204 North Watt Road, give them a call, 865-675-1833. That's Admiral Vet. And online at admiralvet.com.
Does your company have vehicles that you want to turn into rolling billboards for your business? GNJ Auto Graphics can turn your vision into reality. Take it from this satisfied customer.
Hi, this is Aaron at Junk Galaxy. We do junk removal.
I have found myself involved with, I'm now involved with beef.
That's not surprising.
Yep. I am in beef now with Philadelphia Eagles fans. I did not realize.
Oh, that's a fun one.
I did not realize I was fully in beef with a fan base like that, but here I am.
So, again, did you bring something up again, or is this still just from last week when you, like, joked about A.J. Brown?
Yeah, I joked about A.J. Brown, and I don't know if, like, they've been, like, circulating it around some, like, fan pages or what, or if they're just, like, name-searching A.J. Brown and trying to fight people. I don't know, but, yeah, just a couple of Eagles fans just kind of keep coming back around and trying to bring up that they, you know, that we lost to the Bengals. So then I think I'm fighting with Bengals fans, and I look, and they're actually Eagles fans. I'm like, wait a second, what?
You lost to the team that made it to the Super Bowl. You guys must suck.
Is that their insult they're going with?
That's what this one guy came up with. So I thought he was a Bengals fan, and then I clap back at a Bengals fan, and then I delete it because, like, wait, he's not a Bengals fan. And then I'm just like, wait, why is an Eagles fan talking trash to me?
Don't talk about the receiver like that, Sean.
Yeah, I guess.
And then, I'm so excited for Philly.
So then they, get into then we get into a back and forth. And they try to put down Tannehill, and I'm like, okay, look, I'm not listening to you. I know you ain't talking about quarterbacks. Like, there's a couple of teams I'll listen to talk about my quarterback, Ryan Tannehill. I'm not even defending him that much, but I'm not. I'll be damned if I'm gonna let an Eagles fan come in to act like Jalen Hurts is any better. But the last back and forth we've had with this one guy. Is he asked me, he said, Jalen Hurts is better than Ryan. I said, why are you acting like we don't all have TVs and internet? We've all seen Jalen Hurts. And he said, do you want me to pull up the stats, ? And I said, please do. And then I listed, Tannehill, even with injured wide receivers, had more yards, touchdowns, higher completion percentage, a higher rating, and QBR.
Did he go DVOA or something like
no,
that?
No, he just didn't respond. That was an hour ago. I guess he tapped out. He gave up.
He said, you want me to go get the stats?
Yeah, he asked me to get the stats.
Did he pull out rushing yards?
He didn't come back. I don't know.
He's digging through stats right now, trying to find one.
Furiously trying to find one.
He's DMing every man that has ever worked for Football Outsiders.
Because, I mean,
a BTM percentage.
Because, I mean, wins ain't going to work. Because, I mean, despite, again, I know what happened in the playoffs, but we still had more wins than the damn Eagles. You can't even really point to playoff performance. I know Tannehill sucked against the Bengals. Look, let me say that again. Tannehill was god-awful against the Bengals. But you know who else was pretty damn bad? Jalen Hurts against the Bucks. And that Bucks defense went nothing like it was the year before, so don't even try to talk to me about the defense either. That Bengals defense was better than the Bucks defense by the end of the year last year. A 10 QBR against the Bengals in the playoffs was pretty terrible by you, Tannehill, though. That was pretty bad.
Is this enough to maybe inspire you to join me and go to Philly?
No, absolutely not. It's making me less likely to want to go to Philly. With those cretins?
Yeah, that's what I want. I want to dominate the cretins.
And no. What are we going to do? We're going to get in a fight? What are we going to do?
Know.
Nothing we can say
is... Two of my friends at a bar this weekend at 1 a.m. planned out an entire trip to Philadelphia for this game.
Go for it. I'm not stopping you.
And I think you should join
us. I'm not going.
We even
I have a rule against this anyway. I want to go to big games. That's not a big game.
You know, I like to just go to one away game a year. It's fun.
That's fine. If that wants to be your road game, go for it. Again, I'm not trying to talk you out of it. I'm just saying I ain't going to be there.
Yeah.
Maybe you'll find your wife in Philadelphia. Maybe she'll be a nasty Eagles fan.
Oh, don't wish. Maybe she,
she'll be out in the street eating horse poop.
No, maybe she'll be the sweet, sweet angel that's been just cursed by having to live in Philadelphia and needs saving.
Maybe.
That gross, disgusting city.
Or maybe she'll be out there eating horse poop like the rest of the Eagles fans. It's hit or miss. Go for it. I'm not I'm not trying to stop you.
It's not a bad place to go for a game.
Have you ever been?
No.
Then how do you know?
Been to Philly.
How do you know?
I assume
they're going to throw batteries at you.
So?
It's a good time for a track meet.
I guess he's never going to have to.
They're going to beat your ass.
You think they're going to throw unused batteries at you?
Used batteries, bro.
Yeah, but they still got some juice in them, right?
A little bit.
They're going to be dead batteries.
You think bad?
It's a good track atmosphere in Philly for the pin relays.
I mean, I'm not going to say that I just think that most road venues in the NFL are a little scary, to be honest.
Really?
I think NFL fans are wired different than college fans.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know we have our group of, I don't know what word I should use to describe our more rough and rowdy Tennessee Volunteer fans. I don't want to call them rednecks because that implies that I'm not from the farm, that I don't think rednecks are good people. That's not true at all. There's some good old country boys and girls that are Tennessee fans, but there's also a lot of people who went to the University of Tennessee that's just kind of there support the alma mater.
Mm-hmm.
I feel if you're an NFL fan, especially going to road games or being in a place like Philadelphia,
you will die for that team.
You have gone to another level of tribalism. It's okay to have a connection like the hometown team. Again, in college, maybe you go to school there. Maybe your family went to school there. I don't know. Maybe you're just local. But again, I feel like NFL fans in big cities, to really grab onto something, you really have thought, it really represents your city.
I want to go to an away game as a Titans fan for every NFL team. The Titans playing in the game.
Yeah.
And
I think for the most part you'd be okay.
I might, if I go to all, 30, I might get in, three fights, four fights?
Lucky for you that the Raiders aren't in Oakland anymore.
Yeah, Philly, I think, probably number one on the power rankings of most likely to get beat up.
I feel like Baltimore's up there.
I went to Baltimore, and I did actually get threatened.
There was a time at the Baltimore where I got threatened too, and I was just there as a bystander, and the guy told me to make sure I knew where I was at, and I'm in B more, and that they'll stab me and leave me somewhere. And I was like, bro, I'm just trying to go back to my
seat.
Oh,
you also were all.
No, not in Baltimore. I was not talking trash to people in Baltimore.
Joe Flacco?
Well, that was like during the game, not after the game. That was in like the first quarter. That's when things were still joking. Tensions weren't running high in the first quarter.
They
actually got a little mad about that, but like there was.
I was getting like, we're going to kill you if you just continue to cheer for your team when they score.
Yeah, I didn't so much get that. Again, for the most part, people were nice, but once they realized the game was over, most of them left and were mad. But then like another group of Titans fans were coming from like the upper deck down to the bottom so they could like not rush the field, but like be there to take over the lower level. And I was coming out of the bathroom going back to my seat, and some guy was trying to warn all them to make sure they knew where they were at.
He was just being nice.
No, he was angry. He was angry.
There was a man that was...
The 49ers are in my top three, too, of places I think you'd get beat.
Apparently, Arrowhead's one of the most hostile. You went there, though.
I went there twice. When we beat them, they were just kind of sad because, you know, they're like, oh, man, this is over. Alex Smith and Andy Reid, it's time to move on. When I went there for the AFC Championship, you know, we had some verbal jabs before the game, but... After the game, you know, we just kind of quietly left, and they just kind of waved, and nobody really bothered us too much.
The Baltimore game, there is a man on crutches outside the stadium,
mm-hmm.
and he looked like he was injured, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just hopping along on crutches.
That was just his weapon.
And then I walked by him. He hit me with one of his crutches, just, like, stopped crutching and just swung and hit me in the shin with his crutches and just, like, yelled something that I really couldn't even make out, and then just kept crutching along.
Yep, that was his weapon that he brought with you. So I will not be going to Philadelphia.
Actually really, hold up. When I go to Philly, should I bring crutches?
Like, Maybe. That way you can have a excuse when you get in there. The problem is, I don't know.
Can you bring crutches into a game? I feel like not in Philly.
I would think so.
Actually, yeah.
They might just put you like a
handicap. I mean, what are they going to say? Like, you're not.
Actually, I feel
you
like.
You got to wear like a booth
fan,
or something to really.
I feel like that would backfire.
Look.
They'd get a hold of my crutches and then beat me with my crutches.
That's what I was going to ask is if you saw that viral video from a couple of months ago or a couple weeks ago where the one girl shows up to fight that white girl with the bat and says, ain't no rules in fights, and then tries to hit the girl with the bat, and then the girl takes the bat away from her.
You know how you stop that?
Come on! You just made me mad. She told her with the bat. She kept asking her something, and it was bad. And then, like, her dad or her husband or dad or something tried to come get her. I was like, no, I'm calm.
Oh, so it was like an older group. I was thinking
she's like, well, actually, no, I'm kind of calm. And just kept pitting her. Like, you want some more? You want some more?
Anytime you get into a fight with a bat, you have to have a sock over your bat.
That's what the comment says. Like, you got to bring the sock. That way they can't grab it to, like, take it away from you.
Yeah. That's
really smart.
Yeah.
I don't plan on getting in bat fights, but.
But it's even, like, home safety earlier. You know, if a bar has, like, a bat behind the bar, I'm like, hey, put a sock on that.
Yeah. But, like, I think I could go. Do you think I could go to Philly, though?
Yeah.
And like, not get in a fight if I just went to the game and left and, like,
maybe
didn't engage
people? Yeah.
Well, yeah, if you don't engage. Yeah.
I mean, if you just let them throw beer at you.
What if I wore a shirt that just said, F. A.J. Brown.
Probably going to have problems depending on how.
Because we also designed some shirts to wear for the game.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Okay.
Hour one in the books. I got to find this bat video.
I need to see it. The way that you just described it is incredible.
Come on! Come on! Oh, man, I need to find this video. Let's go to break. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio.